Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the March 18th, 2021 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. CJ Roteller, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Roteller. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting, except for the Board of Commissioners, invited guests, and specific Rhode Island staff. All callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask the commissioners, invited guests, and participating staffs to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. During the meeting, if anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Nicole Clement, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Good morning. Thank you, Carol. This is Nicole Clement. Pursuant to Executive Order 20-46, extended by Executive Order 21-21, and as may be further amended or extended, this meeting is being held via teleconference. Members of the public can visit the Rhode Island Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event this teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. I would also like to provide some guidance to our Board of Commissioners and Rhode Island Housing staff as they participate in this meeting. Chairman Redzinas will preside. Please remember to state your name prior to speaking and mute your telephone when you are not speaking. And now I will turn it over to Chairman Redzinas to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Before we begin the business of the meeting, let me give you a map of meetings this morning. We'll begin with a full board meeting. We'll then have a meeting of the Intergovernmental Committee of the Board, and then we'll have a meeting of the Affordable Housing Trust. This will be a lengthy meeting, but I'm sure we will get through it. Let's call the meeting to order and ask our Executive Director to conduct a roll call.
Thank you, Chairman. I will now conduct a roll call of the Board of Commissioners and staff of Rhode Island Housing in attendance. Chairman Nicholas Retsina.
Here.
Commissioner Elizabeth Tanner. Commissioner Seth Magaziner. Commissioner. Yeah, designee. Thank you. Commissioner Kevin Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Steve McAllister. Commissioner Maria Barry.
Here.
And Acting Director of the Department of Administration, James Thorson.
Good morning, I'm here.
Oh, great.
Staff of Rhode Island Housing. James Comer.
Here.
Lisa Primiano.
Here.
Carol LaChapelle.
Here.
Bernadette MacArthur.
Here.
Leslie McKnight.
Here.
Peter Pagonis.
Here.
Claribel Shavers.
Here.
Eric Shorter.
Here.
Christine Hunsinger.
Here.
Nicole Clement.
Here.
CJ Rotella.
Here.
Stephen Richards.
Here.
Chairman, the roll call is complete.
Thank you. Let me begin by welcoming the newest member of the board, Jim Thorson. I got a chance to talk to Jim yesterday. He is a seasoned professional with a vast amount of experience having to do with public sector and public service overall. So, Jim, welcome aboard. We look forward to engaging you in the deliberations of Rhode Island Housing.
Thanks, Nick.
Before we begin the actual board meeting, this is a bittersweet moment. It's a time when we celebrate a colleague, and it's time we say goodbye and move on. We all move on. That's Eric Shorter. Eric has been well known to the members of the board. He seems every month to populate our agenda with different development requests, and somehow able to juggle all of them and move us forward. He's been respectful, he's been competent, he's been professional in his work, and he's shown dignity in his work. He loves his work, he loves the families that are helped by his work overall. Eric, you'll long be a member of the Rhode Island Housing family. We wish you well in the future, and we hope our paths cross again sooner than later. Let's move on let's move on to the business. The first item of the business is approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting on February 18th and the special board meeting on February 26th. I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved, Maria Berry.
Is there a second?
Leanne, I second
the motion. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's ask our general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on February 18th, 2021, and the minutes of the special board meeting held on February 26th, 2021, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Ritzinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner. Commissioner McAllister. Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Let's turn our attention to our executive director to present her monthly review.
Good morning, and thank you, Chairman. Our homeownership lending continues to exceed last year's numbers. During February, we closed on 144 loans with volume of $37.9 million. As we've discussed previously, the supply of homes for sale, particularly for our borrower, is much lower than the inventory we had in 2020. And this really speaks to the need for more single-family starter homes in Rhode Island that are affordable to our typical buyers. So I think that needs to be a priority for the agency in the upcoming fiscal year. Not surprising, we continue to see a high level of delinquency in our portfolio with a rate of 16% in February. It's been hovering in the teens for quite a while. However, we do continue to see borrowers reinstating their mortgages. As of the end of February, 316 borrowers have reinstated using HUD's partial claim program, and we expect that the Biden package will bring resources into the state of Rhode Island that will help many, many homeowners that are behind on their mortgages. In our development division, the team has received 10 proposals in response to the workforce housing RFP. The 10 applications total $12 million in funding requests. We expect to bring recommendations to the board in May. Congratulations to the development finance group. I'm pleased to report that we've received our third allocation of capital magnet funding. It's a highly competitive funding resource, and we were one of 48 agencies across the nation to be approved under this funding round, and we'll be deploying another $5.5 million in funding during the upcoming year. Chris Tunsinger and staff in our policy and leased housing groups are working to launch the Rent Relief Rhode Island program that will be deployed to assist Rhode Islanders with rent and utility arrearages. We'll be presenting several actions related to this federal program to you today. I'm pleased to report that HUD has recognized the terrific work done by our PBCA asset management group during COVID. This team was specifically recognized for their ability to complete MORs during the pandemic. HUD has indicated that a procurement for PBCA oversight may occur this spring, and we intend to bid on any procurement related to this program. Staff has been conducting a number of outreach events around the rent relief program. Most recently, an info session was conducted with mayors and town managers to educate them on the program and the assistance that will be available to help their residents. We've provided a brief summary of the Biden American Rescue Plan Act that became effective March 12th. Excuse me. This will provide additional rental and utility assistance for Rhode Islanders, additional budget authority for the Housing Choice Voucher Program, and $50 million for assistance to homeowners struggling to pay their mortgage. I expect we'll be working very closely with the state on implementing the rental and homeownership assistance program. I'm happy to report that the Rhode Island voters approved Question 3, which will provide $65 million in funding for housing. As you know, we've worked closely in the past with the Housing Resources Commission to deploy the past three bonds, and I expect we'll continue that partnership under this bond. We provided an outline of the housing initiatives proposed by Governor McKee in his fiscal year 22 budget. These initiatives, if approved, will provide additional resources for housing production and preservation, modify the structure of the Housing Resources Commission, and add two ex officio members to our board. Let me pause here, Chairman, and respond to questions.
Great report, given the challenges, especially. Let's open up for questions, comments.
Carol, this is Leanne. And you can feel free to answer this question, or if it's going to be covered in a staff presentation for the vendor selections for Rent Relief RI, you know, feel free to postpone it to later in the meeting. But in particular around like a PR contract or additional advertising around Rent Relief RI, I just wonder if you could speak to the communications plan a little more broadly. You know, I think we're going to cover the outreach side and the engagement of other support agencies, but if you could speak to the communications and marketing piece a little bit.
I certainly can, but I think Christine Hunsinger can probably cover it more thoroughly than I could. So let me ask her to speak to the marketing and outreach.
Sure. What we've done is create a roster of folks who submitted proposals to do different pieces of it. Outreach was one of four tasks. So there are a number of folks who were chosen to partner with us around research. The exact nature of what they'll do will be done during contracting based on what we need at the time, based on what we know of different populations that we're reaching. We will work closely with the governor's office for a kickoff to make sure that it is covered widely in the press once we launch. But really that on the ground in the community work will be done with Rhode Island Housing and partners, and we're going to look to those partners to tell us the best way to do that. And so the contracting will focus on the exact scope.
The only thing I would add to that, Leanne, is that, you know, we are encouraging people to sign up on our website to receive updates on the program so that as soon as we go live with applications, accepting applications, there will be an email or texting blitz that will go out to people that have registered on our website. And certainly, I think the program will be picked up by media outlets in order to get the word out that the application is open and that we're accepting those applications at that certain time we open up.
Okay, thanks. So just to clarify, at this point, there's not a plan for paid media.
There is not a plan that's been contracted for. We have some ideas about what needs to be done, but we really do want to talk to the partners about the best way to reach the populations that they work day in and day out with.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay, this will be to be continued. Let's move our attention to approval, action number four, approval of external charitable donations and contributions. I'm going to ask James Palmer, our Deputy Executive Director, to make the presentation. James?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is James Comer. We have one charitable donation this month. It's to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which is an organization that does great advocacy at the federal level. This donation is in support of their Housing Leadership Awards celebration, which is occurring obviously on a virtual basis next month, where they honor congressional and industry leaders who have helped support the mission of the organization. The donation is $250 in support of this event. We are a partner organization to NLIHC, and this is an annual contribution that we make.
Great, thank you. The management committee did not convene this month, so I'll have to ask if there would be a motion to approve these donations.
This is Leanne, I make a motion to approve.
Second?
Maria Berry, second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's ask Nicole to take the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the external charitable donations and contributions, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Ritzenas?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Berry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Let's move on to our development proposals. And the first is action number 5, approval of financing in Woonsocket. And Eric Shorter will make the presentation.
Good morning. This is Eric Shorter, Director of Development. This morning, we're seeking firm approval for financing for the preservation of securing the future and building a dream development. The sponsor is NeighborWorks of Blackstone River Valley, which is one of our premier nonprofit partners in the state. The property is located in the Constitution Hill section of Woonsocket. The project consists of two separate developments, Saving the Future, which was developed in 1998. It contains 46 units in 13 buildings. The second property is Building the Dream, which was developed in 2002 and contains 19 units in 7 buildings. In total, 65 units in 20 buildings. NeighborWorks will merge two existing low-income housing tax projects into a single limited partnership to preserve the affordability of the units and create a stronger economies of scale for the rehab and maintenance of the units in the future. The total development cost is $8.7 million. NeighborWorks is undertaking approximately $2.3 million in capital improvements, or $35,000 per unit. Staff recommends approval for a first mortgage in an amount of $350,000 and a capital magnet fund loan in the amount of $750,000. I'll pause there and answer any questions.
Thank you. I know the credit committee did convene, and I'm going to ask the chair of the credit committee, Kevin, to offer some comments.
Great. Thank you, Nick. First off, Eric, I'd like to echo Nick's comments earlier. It's been a real pleasure working with you over the years on so many developments, and certainly wish you well. On this particular project, the new money that's going in is essentially being used for the renovation of the property. There is a potential that some of this soft debt home funds and other federal funds could be significantly reduced, which would certainly help its financial viability going forward. The units have been kept in fairly good condition. Most of the improvements are to be done to the exterior of the property. The capital magnet funds allocated to the project are in line with other awards. And the 70% of the cash flow will be used to repay the preservation loan programs. The committee unanimously approved this firm approval of funding, and I do make a motion to the board to approve it.
Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, let me ask our general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of firm approval of financing for securing the future, building the dream, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Let's move to action number 6, the approval of LIHTC low-income housing tax credits for Paragon Mill in Providence. And again, I'm going to ask Eric.
Good morning. This is Eric Shorter again. We're excited about this project, Paragon Mill. It's been around for like 12 to 13 years, so finally we're going to see this building redevelop. The sponsor is the Alexander Company, which is a Wisconsin-based for-profit developer with a portfolio of mixed-use and historic redevelopments in several states, Maryland, Virginia, Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin. The development will create a total of 101 new units, of which 44 will be restricted to 60% AMI or below, and the remaining 57 units will be targeted to households earning less than 120% AMI. The proposed permanent sources in the deal include equity from the syndication of tax credits. Obviously, it has state and federal historic credits, a small investment from Opportunity Zone, a permanent first mortgage from Citibank, and deferred developer's fee. The total development cost is $35.2 million. Again, we're very excited about this project. Staff recommends a reservation of tax credits for this deal.
Great, thank you. And again, I'll turn to the credit committee chair.
Thank you, Nick. This is Kevin Orth. As Eric indicated, the developer, the Alexander Company, has significant experience with this type of project, and they've been thoroughly vetted by staff. They do not have experience in the state, but again, have significant experience outside of state. The general contractor does have significance and successful experience in the state in doing similar projects. The per unit cost is obviously jumped up a fair amount since preliminary approval. All the subcontracts have been competitively bid out, and it is below our maximum per unit ceiling. Rhode Island Housing, I think, worth pointing out that we're simply providing, or not simply, but we're only providing, I guess, the tax credit allocation, no loans or grants to this project. And perhaps the biggest outstanding issue at preliminary was whether the market study would support the demand for the units at these proposed rents. And indeed, the market study has come back and says that there is demand for this. So the committee did unanimously approve recommending funding for this project. So I would make a motion to the board.
Thank you. Looking for a second.
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Eric, I have one question, if I could, and I'm not sure you can answer it. You mentioned this firm is headquartered in the Midwest, Wisconsin and Missouri and the like. What brought them to Rhode Island? Was there anything that was more important than anything else?
If I recall correctly, Chairman, I think they were really, they came looking at the Opportunity Zone, looked at several properties, and then came across this property with the city. So I think the Opportunity Zone opportunities attracted them to the state.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? If not, let's ask our general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor or firm approval of the reservation of low-income housing tax credits for Paragon Mill, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Ritzenas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Turn our attention to the next project, which is the firm approval of financing for Sutton Place in East Providence. And again, Eric, you're on the table. You're on the rostrum.
Great. Thank you. Again, this is Eric Shorter. We're requesting firm commitment of financing for the preservation of Sutton Place. The sponsor is One Neighborhood Builders. The property is an existing market rate property located in East Providence. The property contains two buildings with a total of 36 units. There are 22 one-bedrooms, 14 studio units. Nine units will be restricted to tenants below 30% AMI, five units will be restricted to 60% AMI, and five units at 70% AMI. And the final 17 units will be restricted to up to 80% AMI. So a very diverse income stream in these 36 units. The total development cost, $5.5 million. Including $1.7 million in capital improvements to this this property. I mentioned earlier that this is a market rate development, so we're adding to our affordable portfolio, preserving these units, and really excited that we're able to do this at $168,000 per unit. So that's a great bargain to add to an affordable portfolio. Staff recommends financing for a first mortgage in amount up to $1.8 million, a home loan up to $1.3 million, and a housing trust loan up to $1.1 million.
Thank you. And again, the credit committee has reviewed this?
Yes, we did. This is a project that the City of East Providence is very much behind and supportive of, and has committed to putting some funding towards it. An appraisal was commissioned and does support the acquisition price of the property, as well as the loan to be placed on the property. The rents will be increasing there, but they are up to a level that the market study or appraiser shows demand for, but less than what is believed that they could achieve on the open market. And we also discussed that this project is working in tandem with likely other projects in that waterfront district, so it will support an ongoing concerted effort there by the City of East Providence. And the committee did recommend approval, so I make a motion to the board as such.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Appropriately moved and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, let me ask the general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of firm approval of financing for Sutton Place, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rizzi.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Turn our attention to board action number 8, approval of appointment of successor trustee to the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. And Nicole, you're going to make the presentation?
Yes, I am, Chairman. Thank you. This request for action is a housekeeping matter. The Affordable Housing Trust Fund provides that Rhode Island Housing, as grantor of the trust, has the power to appoint trustees as necessary when vacancies occur. The departure of Barbara Fields as executive director in 2019 resulted in a trustee vacancy. Historically, the chair of the housing, chair of Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, the executive director, and the chief financial officer of Rhode Island Housing have served as trustees of the trust. Carol Ventura should have been appointed successor trustee when she was named the new executive director of Rhode Island Housing, and so we are now here before the board attending to this appointment and request approval for this action.
Great, thank you. Is there a motion?
Kevin Orr, so moved.
Is there a second? I thought I heard a
second.
Great. Thank you. Any further discussion? Let me ask the general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the appointment of a successor trustee to the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rizinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Turn our attention to the next action. It has to do with the approval of the administration of the Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program, otherwise known as Rent Relief for Rhode Island. And I'm going to ask Christine Hunsinger to make the report.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Christine Hunsinger. This request for action seeks authorization for Rhode Island Housing to administer the Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program that's funded by Treasury on behalf of the state of Rhode Island. We've spoken to you before about this program. This is the $200 million of ERA funding that was received by the state that will provide rental and utility assistance to Rhode Islanders in need. The planned launch for this program is March 31st. We are on track so far. And the expedited program rollout is designed to minimize the impact that we anticipate will be created by the lifting of the CDC eviction moratorium. The program will serve folks who are at 80% of area median income and under, who are unemployed or have experienced a reduction in household income due to COVID, and who demonstrate a risk of housing instability or homelessness. And a large part of this program is going to rely on the utilization of community partners to assist with applications and outreach within their communities to eliminate barriers as, such as a lack of transportation, language assistance, and limitations of technology. So staff requests approval of this action.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Maria Berry.
Second?
Kevin Ort, second.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? This is a very, very significant program. This will test us, which I'm sure we'll do fine, but it's going to be a challenge. I wouldn't underestimate the challenge. Again, any questions? Discussion?
Hi, it's Maria. I just have a quick question for Christine. Is the end of the month, is that a national date where all of these programs go live, or does it vary state by state?
It varies state by state. Some have already gone live. Some will go live after us. But everybody is very mindful of the eviction moratorium and what that means for tenants who are now subject to eviction action. So that is that was the latest date, and we needed the time, but we're mindful of that. So that's why the date is March 31st.
Oh, okay. So most programs then will launch by the end of the month. It's sort of a final date to coincide with the moratorium. Okay, got it. Thanks.
Any other questions? Comments? Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving Rhode Island Housing's administration of the Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program, Rent Relief RI, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Ritzinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Leanne. I need to recuse myself from the next item on the agenda. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, recuse myself from the next item on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. This is for approval of pre-qualification of rental assistance support service vendors for Rent Relief Rhode Island. And again, Christine Hunsinger will present to the board.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Chris Hunsinger. This request for action is for approval to establish a roster of pre-qualified partners to support the rent relief program. Rhode Island Housing understands that it will need to engage a diverse set of partners to ensure that outreach and assistance is provided across a range of populations, language groups, and cultural communities. And the program will rely on community partners to assist with applications, outreach in these communities. We issued an RFP in February of 2021 soliciting proposals for four different tasks: rental assistance support services, including application assistance, outreach, legal services and support for tenants and landlords, and application processing. The RFP was posted on the Rhode Island Housing website and the State Department of Administration. In addition, the RFP was sent by email to more than 200 community partners and contacts. Rhode Island Housing explicitly encouraged traditional and non-traditional partners to apply, including for and nonprofits, social service entities, neighborhood organizations, cultural entities representing a variety of populations, places of worship, community groups, and organizations who serve as trusted resources of information. Rhode Island Housing received 26 proposals, with some applying for multiple categories of support. Selection committee was comprised of Rhode Island Housing staff and reviewed the responses in accordance with the criteria set forth in the RFP. Based on the review of those proposals, there is a roster in front of you and a score sheet in front of you of the firms that have been recommended to be on the pre-qualified list. Staff recommends approval of this action.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Maria Berry.
Is there a second?
Kevin Orr, second.
Any discussion? Any questions?
This is Commissioner Orth. Christine, I see that the emphasis, rightly so, here is on getting the money out to those in need. And maybe this is a question beyond just this action, but what about accounting and compliance? This is, as the chairman said, this is an awful lot of money, a huge program. What is the planning being done, again, for accounting and compliance?
Yep. So we're working internally with our existing staff, with the finance department, our QC department, legal, and all of that, as we work through the guidance and the statute to understand what can and can't be done, to put together those policies and procedures, and to make sure that we understand what the reporting, the compliance, and audit functions will need to look like. I would remind you that our software vendor also has staff that used to work for Treasury as part of the team. And so the software is also a piece of compliance with those requirements. You're seeing a lot of activity from this program in front of the board right now. It's not all you will see. You're seeing this flurry of activity as we get started. And as we go forward and understand what the needs are, we will probably be back in front of you RFPing and requesting action on additional items. But we are working very mindfully to make sure that we are designing a program that is in compliance. And we've got some experience. The agency has some experience doing these kinds of programs before, so the auditing and compliance requirements are not unfamiliar to us.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none, let's ask our general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the pre-qualification of rental assistance support service vendors for Rent Relief RI, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Let's turn our attention to the next item. Find it on my...
excuse me, Nick. I just want to let you know Steve McAllister is now on. Sorry I'm late, everyone.
Just in time, Steve. The next meeting... I've lost my notes here. Sorry. Nicole, where are we? Is there anything else we need to do?
Yes. Yeah. It is board action number 11, the approval of engagement of call center vendors.
Yes, I see it.
I
apologize.
No problem.
This is yet another proposal. And again, I'll turn it over to Christine. Christine?
This is Christine Hunsinger. This request for action seeks authorization for Rhode Island Housing to engage with O'Brien to provide the call center services in connection with the Rent Relief RI program. It's the same program that we've spoken about. Rhode Island Housing issued an RFP for call center support services in February 2021. The RFP was posted on Rhode Island Housing's website and the State Department of Administration, Division of Purchases. 16 firms submitted proposals in response. A selection committee comprised of Rhode Island Housing staff reviewed those proposals in accordance with the criteria set forth in the RFP. And employed a weighted scoring range model to evaluate them. Overall, weighted scoring ranges ranged from a low of 2.17 to 8.85. Widow Bryan received the highest weighted score and was the unanimous choice of the committee. Widow Bryan is currently working with the Kansas Housing Resources Corporation, the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, and a number of municipalities as they administer their ERA programs. And the services they offer, which include customized scripting, agent training, quality assurance, reporting, and application assistance and processing, will enable Rhode Island Housing to comply with the ERA program requirements of the state and Treasury. In addition, it is crucial that the call center operate as effectively and efficiently as possible in order to manage the anticipated demand and influx of applications. Widow Bryan has experience with the software application that Rhode Island Housing will use to administer Rent Relief RI and is integrated into other states using that platform. We believe that it will allow a streamlined and seamless integration between the two systems and maximize efficiency. Widow Bryan has proposed a pricing structure of a per-hour rate based on employee title, role, and number of hours worked. The pricing structures that were proposed by all respondents varied greatly, with some proposing large initial setup fees and others proposing monthly set fees. overall pricing also varied greatly and ran from $20,000 to over $3 million for 9 months of service. The committee evaluated Whit O'Brien's proposal using assumption of hours, employee title, role, and coverage. The actual cost of the engagement will be determined based on hours worked and will continually be adjusted on metrics with cost efficiency in mind. Staff recommends approval of this action.
Great, thank you, Christine. Is there a motion to accept?
This is Steve. I'll make the motion to accept.
Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you, Maria. Any comments or questions? Christine, I have one. You've been in contact, I know, with other HFAs around the country, around the regional role. Is the how we're approaching this fit the mainstream, or is it an outlier from any of the other states?
Every state's got their own take on it. We're not an outlier. We're all kind of in the same place, understanding the large dollars that need to go through the program. Many states are using call centers. We've spoken before about the technology platform. We do share questions about how certain things that are less concrete are being addressed, and Rhode Island Housing works very hard to not make policy choices to where we would be the only one doing something. So we work very closely with those partners to be in line with how the programs are being run across the country.
Great, thank you. Other questions?
This is Leanne. Just I understand the pricing. The pricing scenario and how we will be charged. Is there a ballpark estimate for what we think the cost of this will be?
So the very, very, very top amount for the first year of service that we put in there, that if the volume were way higher than we anticipate, but just for planning purposes, was $2.5 million. I don't anticipate it being that way, and we have set kind of a starting place that would result in much lower cost. And so long as it's sufficient to address the folks who are calling in and the volume, we'll maintain a much lower level. But that's the cap on the first year.
Any additional questions or discussion? Again, to be continued. Let's ask for a roll call vote. Nicole?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the engagement of a call center vendor for Rent Relief RI, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rosinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
All right. There being no further business to come before the board, I would request a motion to adjourn.
Kevin Orr, so moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second that. This is Steve.
Thank you. Steve McAllister seconded. Thank you. Let's ask for a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of adjourning this meeting, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rosinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
All right. We are now adjourned. And let me turn the gavel over to Steve McAllister for the Intergovernmental Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I call the Intergovernmental Committee to order at 10:16.
Steve?
IT Department? Yes.
This is Carol Ventura. We need to just close down the tape of the board meeting, and then we're going to open up the Intergovernmental Relations Committee meeting, so you'll hear that prompt once CJ goes live and we can open up the meeting. And I think that based on the script, I'll be opening it up and we'll do the roll call and then hand it over to you.
Okay, sounds good. Yes, I have the script in front of me. Thank you.
Okay, great. CJ, can we roll?